Okay, so what we're doing is taking the distribution function, first order solution. So this is a equilibrium minus a deviation from the equilibrium. That's the relaxation time times V F zero gradient, space gradient, and the force times the velocity gradient F zero. So that's what we had after we made certain terms in the Boltzmann equation using the relaxation time approximation. And what we did in the last lecture is taking this and plug it into a Fourlon case for Fourlon heat conduction. We derive Fourier law and the corresponding thermal conductivity. And I think for those derivation, I went step by step, and you probably don't have much complaint. And the next one on the Newton shear stress law, I jumped a little bit. And so looks like some of you couldn't quite follow my notes. So we all agree that we can express the shear stress in terms of the velocity. So this is a Vx, Vy, and Vx is the momentum, and Vy is the rate of momentum change in the y direction. And then F dvx, dvy, dvz. And this is an integration from all possible velocity, because the individual molecules, they can process any of this velocity. So we count all those possibilities, and they, at the end, we get the total shear stress. And if you plug in for the fluids, what we have is F0 equals N M 2 pi kappa BT 2/3 and exponential. So I was considering the case where there's a flow in the y direction. You can think of this as a coed flow where the top plate is moving, so you get a velocity varying linearly from bottom plate to the top plate with the average velocity that depends on coordinate y. So in that case, the Boltzmann distribution is the so-called displaced Boltzmann distribution. So we have Vx squared plus Vy minus U squared plus Vz squared and divided by 2kbt. And I have mv squared one half. That's the energy divided by kbt. Yes. Thank you. Vx minus u. Thank you. Plus vy squared. Okay, because this is a velocity component in the x direction, and random velocity minus the average velocity gives you the more the central, where is the central point of this velocity. So that's displaced Boltzmann distribution. And what you do that is then substitute this F into the expression and do the integration. Yes?
I thought you want to display Maxwell's equation because when you integrate on F naught, when you put V in front of it, you get zero. But if you do the same thing here, then you
what? What you're saying is this should be my final solution already. This should be my F. This should not be my F naught.
Yes.
Well, now you can prove that this one satisfies the Boltzmann equation, but doesn't give necessarily give you the gradient term. Okay. If you have a bulk fluid moving everywhere at a velocity u, you plug in into the Boltzmann equation, And in fact, the right-hand side of Boltzmann equation is that scattering integral. And this distribution still satisfies even the rigorous scattering integral. Okay. You can also show, picking up what you said, you can also show that the average velocity of the fluids should be the U, right? At the end, if you, this is your solution, you plug in that solution so you can show that Vx, F, dVx, dVy, dVz, and all the other terms will drop out. You really just get the average. That let me leave you to prove yourself. I'm going to go through a few steps of this part so you can pick up the math. And so if you substitute this into the substitute the F into the tau xy, so what do I have is tau xy equals minus infinite plus infinite minus infinite plus infinite minus infinite plus infinite m vx vy f zero minus that becomes vx df zero. Oh, it's vy df zero dy and dvx dvy dvz. Why I only have df zero dy? That's because in this expression here, I'm assuming density is constant, temperature is constant, and the only variable is u as a function of y. So if I take the gradient f0 with respect to dvx, df dx is 0, df dz is 0, and it's only df dy left there, right? And so this is the integral you want to do. And f0, if you integrate vx, f0, if you look at it, just observe it. It's vy, vz is a what function? An even function or odd function? Huh? With respect to vy, vz. Even function. So even function. And now vy times the even function, and integrate from minus infinite to plus infinite. Vy times f0 is even or odd? It's odd. It's odd, minus, plus, automatic is 0. It's a symmetry. Right? You have same negative, same positive. So I don't need to even do any trying. I know it's 0. So what I left is the second term here. Right? So the second term, df0 dy, again, since I'm assuming that the n and the t are independent of y, it's a constant density and constant temperature, and you can do df0 dy should be n times m 2 pi kbt 2/3, and df0 dy. So you can see my only first term is that's what I have there. I should get m vx minus u and 2 kbt du dy. That's the of that exponential. And the rest is still exponential. Here I have m vx minus u squared plus vy squared plus vz squared divided by 2 kbt. Right? You follow this differentiation? How I get it? Follow it? Df0 dy. Look at it. I just repeated everything. It's an exponential. You're right. It's just an exponential. D minus x dx is what? It's minus ex. I don't want to do this, okay? It's a math that you need to go back and review. Really, see, that's what I get. Plug in there, next step, I do the integration. So I pull this out, because du dy is independent of Vx, Vy, Vz, so I have du, dy. My rest is my viscosity term. That's Newton shear stress law. So this viscosity term, mass infinite, plus infinite, mass infinite, plus infinite, mass infinite, plus infinite. And m times this m, I have m squared. And kbt, and then, I forgot this tau. There is a tau there, right? So I have tau. And then vy times vy is vy squared. Vx is here, but here I have vx minus u. So I have these two terms, and then the rest is copying my integral here. This integral, let me just skip writing every term. You can just copy it. Right? That's the integration I want to do. It's a triple integral. Did I miss anything?
Yeah.
What?
Add over.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so let me add it here because it's independent. It's just a constant, 2 kBt, 2 thirds. Right? Yes? Yeah, you'll see. You can do a simple coordinate transformation, you will drop out. So Vy, Vz, first the Vz integration, dvz. Dvz, minus infinite, plus infinite, that's all independent of z, only this exponential here, right? This can be factorized as 3 exponential. Vx squared, Vy squared, exponential, 3 factorized. So I factorize the 3 integrals. Right, because they are all called independent of each other. My one of the integral is okay. Write everything else. I'm factoring 3 integrals, and these are as long as I assume those are independent relaxation time, independent velocity. If I make that assumption, then I can pull out of this integration. So all those are constants pull out. I have just vx, vy, this times that exponential integral. So I got 3 integrals. The one is this Vz integral, Vz squared, 2 kbt, mvz squared, dvz. And the Vy is, I have Vy squared exponential, no, let's just write exponential, mvy squared, 2 kbt, dvy. And then Vx is minus infinite plus infinite Vx minus u exponential m Vx minus u squared 2 kbt dvx, right? So you do 3 integrations. What's the integration of this? Error function, but I'm going from minus infinite to plus infinite. Yeah, some of you remember this is a dx is just a square root of pi. That's just a definite integral. If you don't remember, you can go to look for table or Mathematica, but you should be able to do it. Well, integration. I heard most of you learning high school and never used to it. College, I was surprised. Maybe most of the time you do differentiation, you don't do integrations. But this integration, I think I talked once in class, how you do it. Or at least some of you sit in my office, I did it. Right? How you do this integration, you can, one of the trick, if you do, you can change it, okay, this is the mass dx, minus square dy. It's actually easier to do 2 together. That's identical. This 2 integration identical. Just change dummy, right? So it's minus infinite to plus infinite. I convert into double integral x square y square dx dy. Then I convert it into polar integral. So this will be exponential r square 2 pi r dr. Then I want to integrate over the whole 2 pi. So that's 0 to infinite for r. And this one you can do it. You take a square root, you get that one. Right? I don't need to do the rest. And you see, I can't do this one. There's also a trick. OK, you can always go look at table. There's a trick to do it. OK? And this one, if you're ready now, I can define a new function, let's say minus infinite to plus infinite ax squared dx. You already know what is this, right? Because this is a pi. You do a coordinate transformation, that will be a function of a. Right? So this one, you already know, if I do the transformation, it will be square root of a. Oh, there's a pi I'm missing. Square root of pi and over a. Right? Because I times a square root divided by a square root, and the rest will be. So I do a f derivative that will be minus 1/2 a pi, not minus, a 2/3. Then I take this derivative, that will be what? Minus x squared exponential minus ax squared dx. Right? I take a derivative with respect to a. So x squared comes down. So now I get the x squared e ax squared. I set both sides equal to a equal to 1. I get this integral. So I don't need to go look for table. Worst case, you always find the table. OK? So you can do this. You can do that. This one, you do a coordinate transformation. If you switch this into vx prime equals vx minus u, you will get this is a mvx prime square. This is a vx prime. This will be vx prime plus u. But u is, you can pull out, the, again, it's a symmetry, so this u term drops out. Again, at the end, it's vx prime square. So it's an extra step, but the it's actually identical to this one. OK. Everything, I did it. No more complaint on the math there. Let me go to next. So I'm going now move on to the Ohm's law. And let's say I want to deal with electrons. And in the last lecture, where they said the force act on electron is the charge of the electron, or if it's a positive, I use a general symbol Q, and then times the electric field, right? And I only want to do the transport again along the x direction, so. I go back to look at what I have here. F0 for electron is the Fermi-Dirac distribution, right? So that's the exponential e minus mu kBT plus 1. That's for what? That's for electrons, right? And so I want to express this in one dimension, x direction, because the charge is flowing. Let's say charge is flowing to the x direction. I want to find the current flux or heat flux carried by the electron. I can do both. And so first I write my f equals f0 minus tau vx df0 dx. That's the first term here, right? Again, it's only in y x direction, so I write df0 dx. And the f divided by m is plus q exponential. So the electric field now is also pointing in the x direction, so it's Q X M, and dV dx, dV df0. So where is that V coming from? Remember, for electrons, we look at the band structure, right? So the band structure, how the energy change, if this is a metal, this is the energy, this is the wave vector, and if it's a metal, then the chemical potential is inside the band, or Fermi level is falling within the band. And if it's a semiconductor, I draw both sides of the K. So semiconductor is you have a gap between bands. You have conduction band, you have valence band. And so this is the E, this is the K, and here is the bottom conduction band, the EC, here is the top conduction band, the EV. And very often, not necessarily always, semiconductor, your chemical potential depends on where is your, how much is the doping, your chemical potential may fall into the band gap. Okay, so the E, if I write the E, and remember we often use, particularly for this case, the semiconductor case, I can write the electron energy near the bottom as a parabolic, because the first order derivative is zero. This is a minimum, so first order derivative is zero. So my approximation is EC plus the second order derivative is the expressing effective mass. So it's 2 effective mass H bar square K square. Right? HK is momentum. P squared divided by 2M is really kinetic energy. You can think that way. Right? And so this one, if you think this, could be really thought as mv squared divided by 2. That's the kinetic energy part. And you can also just do K, because I could just write this as, so mv, so I can write this also as F divided by H times K F0 equivalent. Because M times V is the momentum, and H times K is the momentum, H bar, right? So everything there is equivalent. And so I could write this. So let me do a chain rule. What I'm going to do is F0 rather than dV or dK, I'm doing the energy. Because look, here, the change is really in energy. So energy is related to K or V, right? So I do the chain rule is D energy. D, if I do the K or V, so let me do V. Then it should be dVx, because this is the vector product of, I only have the force in the x, the field in the x direction, so this should be dVx. If I have force in y direction, I have another term, dVy and the Ey, right? So I'm doing one-dimensional problems. And so this is my distribution function. And I could, what is dE dVx? Or dE, if you look at here, dE dVx is just mvx, right? So I can write this, because that means M cancel here, Vx, I have another MVx. This term is MVx, so this M cancel this M, that Vx is the same as that Vx, or tau is in the outside. Tau is outside. Look at what I wrote here. Tau is outside. So I can write this F now as F0 minus tau. I can also pull Vx out, because this is Vx. And I have df0 dx plus q epsilon x and df0 dE. And this is my solution for the distribution function of the electrons under an external electrostatic field. That's represented by the field EX. Right? Okay? So I can do the rest is very similar to what I did for fluids or for Foulon conduction or Newton shear stress law. If I want to do the charge flux, that's the rate, the current flux, that's the rate of charge flow in the x direction. So how I do the current flux? You can write, you can tell me if I want to do the charge flux, because I didn't put a Q equals minus E, the negative charge. For electrons, it's negative. You put a Q equals minus E, you can do that at the end. Okay? So I want to do the flux for the charge. So each particle carry one charge, Q. Right? So each particle carry one charge. And the rate of flow in the x direction is Vx. The rate of flow is Vx. Right? And quantum state, the number of electrons in one quantum state is given by the distribution function F. So there are how many electrons or positive electron holes, how much charge carried by each electron or hole, and how fast they move. And then I sum up all possible number of electrons, quantum states in the system. So I again do the summation kx, ky, kz, right? And I may miss a math factor of 2 because each quantum state has a spin up and spin down. That's not in my quantum solutions, right? So this is a my microscopic expression. Just the same strategy as we do the shear stress. This is my microscopic expression for the shear stress. And recall last lecture when we do energy heat flux, per Foulon is H omega. H omega, momentum, charge. And that's the seems to be only difference. Of course, the detailed math is a little bit different, but the philosophy there is identical, right? So with this, you convert into next step, you convert into integration as you normally would do. When you convert into integration, we say here is a 2, and then 2 pi L cubic, that's the distance between wave vectors, 2 pi divided by L. And then the integration is a triple integration dkx, dky, dkz, and qvx times f. And that kx, ky, kz is all possible wave vectors. Right? Right? And I'm a little bit, there's a little bit of awkwardness here, because you see, when I do this, I did it in a rigorous way. I have a L total volume here. And then I divide it into here, I get my flux. So I'm not changing symbol, because sometimes I just, when I do directly write in density of states, it's much easier, because I already normalized it to the volume. But remember here, I already really incorporated into my per unit area. This is a, if I denote this volume, that's per unit area how much I have. Okay, that's a current density rather than current. It's current density. Just like when we do heat flux, is the rather than heat, okay, per unit area. And so the rest is, again, this is a very similar, right? When we do the heat flux, we said, well, you can convert into density of states, but you got to be careful because this depends on angle. It's not, you shouldn't do it directly because this depends on angle. So you convert this into spherical coordinate. That's a sine theta, d phi, and the wave vector is k squared dk. That's your spherical coordinate variables rather than kx, ky, kz variables. Right? And with that, I dropped my volume. And remember, k squared, 4 k pi k squared, dk squared, dE, and times factor of 2 times 2 pi, 2 pi cubic. This one we already did before. That's my density of states as a function of E. So the difference between my spherical coordinate, I don't have that 4 pi. So when I write it, I could just write as, since I convert it into E, so I have QVX, and I have F, I have 4 pi, I have DE, and then I have sine theta, and d theta d phi. Oh, let me add here d theta d phi, and I also have dE, right? Are you following me? Where you get lost?
What just happened?
Huh? What just happened?
Yeah, you went from.
So. This one here?
No, I got that.
I wrote here.
I got k squared.
Okay. K squared become E because I convert that k into E, right? Okay. So it's a triple integral because of theta phi E. What's my, again, if you look at it, this is my coordinate x direction. So at any point, the velocity could be here. And this is my theta, and this is x, y, z. So I project this into phi. That's my coordinate phi. And so I have to set up my limit for this integration. First, the phi is easy, 0 to 2 pi, right? 0 to 2 pi for phi. Theta is what? We did the last class for Fourlons. Huh? Theta, this is my, that's my minus what? Well, okay, you can do that. In that case, it has this theta. I'm defining from here, it's 0 to back pi. Right? So 0 to pi. And energy should integrate over all possible, so it could be really from here to the topmost of your first Brillouin zone. But that's already very high. So for electrons, you can essentially say this is infinite. Okay, so we can just say 0 to infinite. In fact, you can, I should correct that. You can see there, this is the first Brillouin zone. The second one, you can set to infinite. You can go from here to different, even different bands into your summation there. Okay. Yeah.
Parabolic,
yeah, and it's not always good approximation. Sometimes the edge is not the edge is not a very smooth function. Yeah, we're integrating at least the band. But say, if you deal with semiconductor, it turns out, because semiconductor doping is very small, really just a small amount of very close to the band edge. That's where they are populated.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is my expression, and I need to do next is just substitute the f into this expression. So let's substitute the f into this expression. Okay. So what I have is density of states there, density of states, and 2 pi. I'm dealing with a symmetric situation in the phi direction, right? I don't have anything really depends on phi. Vx is v times cosine theta under my coordinate system. There's no phi. So phi 2 pi, I pull out. So that's a fact of that 2 pi cancel this 4 pi. So I have one half and 0 to pi, 0 to infinite. Q, Vx is V, cosine theta, and F, we can substitute in the expression I have here, F0 minus tau Vx, and dF0 dx plus Q epsilon x dF0 dE, density of states, right? That's F. I have sine theta d theta. That's sine theta d theta. Okay? Now you look at this. What's my F0 contribution? Look at this integral. Zero. You did your math? Okay, yeah. You integrate it, it's zero. Well, the physics is symmetric in both forward and backward direction. So there's equal amount going backwards versus forward. Cancels. Right? That's the physics. And this is a math that you can prove it. Okay. So this one drops out. The rest is what contributes to your current. So what contributes to your current is in those terms. So I pull negative sign out, one half. And in fact, you can see I can do Vx. There's another Vx. This is a V cosine theta again, right? I can do the theta integration now. Because other than this cosine theta, there's another cosine theta, there's a sine theta. Nothing else depends on my theta, depends on theta, right? Right? Cosine theta, that's a cosine theta square, sine theta d theta integrated from 0 to pi. That's the same integration we did in the last class. What is the value? 2/3. Okay? So 2/3. That factor of 2 cancel this 2, so have 1/3. Okay? So 1/3, and the rest is 0 to infinite. And Q V square tau, and then dF0 dx plus Q epsilon x dF0 dE density of states. Isn't it interesting that, remember, in thermal conductivity, you get 1/3. All those coefficients have something like 1/3 diffusion. Okay? And that comes from this angle averaging, cosine theta square sine theta. Because you're projecting, really, although in the oblique angle, you have the same speed, but they don't contribute equally to the flux because it's Vx that contributes the most, right? So given what we have, the lesson is look at how I can do dF0 dx, dF0 dE, and that comes back to the Fermi-Dirac distribution. So look at the Fermi-Dirac distribution where we have the Fermi-Dirac distribution. It's here. Right? DF0DE, I can do it. Easy. Right? and df0 dx. There's some trouble here. The chemical potential can depend on x. Temperature can depend on x. Right? So when I do that, I have to be careful. And in fact, okay, let me just write df0 here so that I don't need to. E minus mu kBT plus 1. And in fact, I have to be a little bit careful here, even respect whether E itself depends on x. That depends on very much on your coordination, coordinate, how you are choosing your coordinate, where you choose your reference point. Look at here. If I have my E equals EC HK, this doesn't depend on X. That's a kinetic energy, right? MV squared, random velocity. But EC, that's the bottom of a conduction band, right? That's more like a potential. That's the starting point. But it's like a potential energy of the electron there. So where you put it? It depends on, it could depends on along a conductor that could be space dependent. So in that sense, the E itself could be space dependent. But if I do this way, if I go back to write, this is like a kinetic part. That's one half mv. This is the kinetic part. And this is like Ec as a potential part. So I write minus mu minus Ec, because Ec plus Ek gives me a total E. So this is a kBT minus plus 1. Okay? So what I'm doing here is, if I take this Ec as my reference 0 for Ek, for E, and then mu should refer to the bottom of conduction band. So if I, again, let me draw this reference. So this is my conductor here, and this is a mu, and this is a K. But along different X location, this EC, this is the bottom point, could change. And now if I do, or say, if this is an absolute reference, that's my mu to absolute reference along the X direction. So it's a flat one. Then mu can depend on X. EC also can depend on X. But if I do my mu, really is mu minus EC, is this distance. That's I define as my mu. It's always referred to the bottom conduction band. Okay. Then EC drops out because that's my reference point. Okay. So in that case, the Ek goes from 0 to infinite. Okay? Yes?
What's causing, what physically is causing EC and mu to vary
in place? Well, you will see it. See, if I have a conductor, okay, I apply a voltage, I'm biasing, changing the position of the potential energy of the electrons. Yeah. That's only part of the reason. At the end, you will see there are different reasons. Okay. So what I'm saying is this chemical potential, mu, if I just take the refer to the bottom conduction band, that's the true really like chemical potential. The really independent of position. No, shouldn't be saying independent position. It really... I say simplify life. That's easier. Okay, I explain in my book there are two different reference systems, and so that's the reference I'm going to take. And in that case, really you should say this is the only integration for kinetic energy. So we do df in. So here I'm taking this as my EC as a reference, as my reference for the chemical potential, then Ek doesn't depend on x anymore, and I can just do this integration if I change E into Ek. Okay, how we do it? Df0 dx, that's where I need to take the derivative with respect to space, because now Ek doesn't depend on x anymore, so I have my first derivative, first term is respect to mu, right? So I can write this, again, I use a chain rule, because mu can depend on x, Ek doesn't. So I can use chain rule is really df0 dmu dmu dx. That's the first term. But temperature can also depend on x, right? So I have df0 dt dt dx. That's the two terms that depends on x, right? Okay? And if you look at the mu, the position, if I take a df0 d mu derivative, its position with respect to Ek is just a minus sign position, right? Right? This is a minus sign, this is Ek. So I can just, you can prove easily df0 d mu equals minus df0 dEk. That's just a mathematical, given this expression, you have this mathematical identity. I do that because I want to write that is similar to what I have df0 dE there. Okay? So what I can write is minus df0 dEk d mu dx. That's the first term. And second term, when df0 dt. So df0 dt, I again want to write it similar to what I have with respect to dE dk. So again, you can let me write it down so you will see, you can prove yourself. Okay. So you can prove df0 dt is same as df0 dEk, but then I have to, because this one is the same derivative times Ek minus mu k kb. Well, I have to check myself now. Not kb, it should be t. Because what I have is a t squared. When I do this derivative, I have kb t squared. Okay? And this is a, you can prove this identity. Get it lost? This math? Huh? Let me do it. df0 dEk. Look at this expression here. df0 dEk is what? Exponential Ek minus, let me say this is x. This one is exponential x plus 1. The x is the whole blob there. No, this is y. X I'm using. Y. Right? Y is this whole blob there. Right? So what I have is d. This is a df0 dy, dy, dek. And y is k. You can say this y is ek minus mu divided by kbt, right? So what I have, because y is ek minus mu KBT. Remember, I already used EC as my reference point. So I'm dropping, writing the EC. Okay? So what do you have? This is a KBT DF0DY. This is DF0DEK, right? Now you write DF0DT. DF0DT is DF0DY, DY, DT, and that's DF0DY. DY DT, what is DY DT? It's a KB, so it's a minus KB T square EK minus mu. Because this is my Y, right? I'm just setting this into equally to my Y. Everybody following? Right? Okay. Now I assume you buy into this. I prove there because this one, you look at from this one to this one, the difference. DF is DT. Oh, there's a negative sign. Is there a negative sign?
There should be
a negative, so put a negative sign here. Okay? Right? So this, I already proved this identity. So I what I have here is EK minus mu T DF 0 DEK. So these are the terms I have DF 0 DX. This, you can say, oh, I forgot this DT DX. Okay, now I'm going to plug in back into that integral I wrote, df0 dx, I have it here, df0 dek, I already have it. This I just say df0 dek. Okay, right? So I'm going to write my current expression now. That method is a little bit more complicated, and in fact, it is frustrating even for me because when I write that negative charge, I get frustrated. The positive or negative sign is getting very confusing. That's just a historical reason. Somehow define the electron as a negative charge. Okay. Now I'm going to write down the current flux, substitute into it, minus 1/3, 0 to infinite, and Q V squared tau, and then df dx, you can say dfx, I have df0 dek, df0 dek, and df0 dek. That can be pulled out of the bracket, right? So I have a bracket term, which is minus d mu dx, and then minus EK minus mu d t d t dx, and my third term is plus q e x df0 dek and density of states ek dek. So this is my expression here. And the point I want to say is this one, this term, doesn't depend on Vx or Ek, right? So these two terms I can combine together, pull out of the integration. This term, dt dx, I can pull out of integration. So I'm going to write into certain the format. The first one is I have a minus, so I have 1/3 plus 1/3, 0 to infinite, Q V squared tau, DF0 dEk, dEk, and dEk, that's the first term. And then I have this one and this one combined is d mu dx minus q epsilon x. Because I put a minus sign, plus sign, I put a cancel that minus. So that's one term. And the second term is this dt dx. So the dt dx, let me write it here. So I have 1/3 0 to infinite q v squared tau and ek minus mu divided by t. This one I cannot, ek minus mu I cannot pull out of the integration. And df0 dek dek dek. And that's, so this is a plus and dt dx. So this is my current. Doesn't quite look like Ohm's law, right? Okay? But this is pretty much very close to Ohm's law. It's just more general than Ohm's law. Now you think. Let's look at this expression. Let's see what it means. So I first just deal with, the first case is I deal with the isothermal conductor. There's no temperature difference. dT dx equals zero, constant temperature. Right? If it's constant temperature, you can say Jx, then let me put this whole stuff, this coefficients here, let me write it as L11, and d mu dx minus q epsilon x. And so that's my expression when it's constant temperature, right? So current, if you forget about d mu dx, is proportional to the electric field, right? Electrostatic field, electric field, okay? But what is this d mu dx? Well, here we have to go back to recognize what is the field, electrostatic field. So F equals charge times the field, right? That's what we wrote down at the beginning. Okay? The force is always the gradient, negative gradient of a potential, right? Force is always a negative gradient of a potential. So let's say this is a d, if this is a one dimensional d, potential dx. And in electricity, we don't talk about the, this potential is the energy potential. It's a true potential, right? In electricity, people don't talk about the, they talk about the electric field and the electrostatic potential. And that potential is actually normalized by the charge. Okay? So the electric field is related to electrostatic. So if you measure voltage, what's the relation? D voltage dx, right? Is there a negative sign? I forgot. There's a negative sign. So here you get a negative, maybe you can think of it as dv dx, right? So you can say voltage is really energy, but it's normalized by Q. Right? Voltage is just the energy normalized by Q. So in electricity, we talk about voltage. That's really the normalized by Q. So this is an electrostatic potential. You can see this is an electrostatic potential. And so when I write d mu dx minus q d epsilon, it's really d mu dx. You can see from here I have a plus because I want to write into dv dx. So I have q dv dx. And it's really d dx mu plus qv. So it's a chemical potential plus electrostatic potential. Right? Chemical potential is a measure of how many particles you have locally. Why? If I want to find the number of particles, I do this. Remember, you did this exercise. This is F and times density of states integration over OE. Right? This one, if you plug in the Fermi Dirac distribution, is E minus mu kBT plus 1. From this expression, you get your chemical potential. Right? Given a particle density, you find your chemical potential. So chemical potential is a measure of how much particles you have. Electrostatic potential is the external electric field. That's the force of the particle. So and really, mu divided by q plus v is the symbols. We have scores of symbols. That's electrochemical potential. That's combined. Okay. So this one is two potential combined electrochemical potential. So that includes both the effect of Lambert density and the electrostatic fields. So what do you have here in your in the Ohm's law, what it says is really this one is, you can see here, is the Q d phi dx. Right? So what drives the current flow is electrochemical potential gradient. It's not just the electric field itself. It's the electrochemical potential gradient. Yes?
Since you say that mu is proportional to mass,
yes.
That d mu dx term, can you write that a different way also by like using continuity?
Yes, that's what I'm going to do. It's a density gradient. So d mu dx term is diffusion, it's the mass diffusion, the density. Because here, you see, mu is relative density, particle density. So you can write that as a density gradient. Okay? And I'm going to do that. So if you go back to here, rather than going to do all the splitting, isothermal case, if we don't combine here into this d mu dx, we just put d mu dx out. We could write this expression here. Okay, d mu dx, we don't do it. D mu dx times df0 dek combined back is df0 dx, right? If we don't write this, because the isothermal, this one is 0, so this is df0 dx, right? If I don't write this into this form, okay? So if I don't do that, what I have is you will say my current then Jx, well then if I don't do this combination, I will have two terms. The first term is Q times Ex times what I have here. So I would write the total, here I'm, I will have to do a little bit jumping, giving you the result, final results. So I'm going to combine EX this term with this exponential, with this coefficient. So I'm going to write this as, I can also write it, looks like it's not an ideal situation. Okay, this is good. So I put this down. And I'm going to write as a Q, that's what I have. And Q, n number density times so-called mobility times the electric field. That's really just this term times this term. This gives me a way of defining the so-called mu mobility there. And the second one term I have is I write this form as D and Q dN dx. That dN dx comes from the term of dF0 dx. I pull the dx out, F0 gives me the say the density term there. Okay, I made a little bit jump here. But do you get the idea there? You write this even in the constant temperature case. Here I say really the current is driven by electrochemical potential. Here I split the electrochemical potential back into electrostatic field and a diffusion, a density gradient. Okay, the electrical engineer use both type. Sometimes they use that. A lot of times they use this. They call this a drift diffusion equation. This is a diffusion term. This is a drift term. Electric field will put a force onto the electron, set them into motion. So that's a drift. And then the gradient of the charge set a diffusion term. So this is called the drift diffusion equation. But you can say that it's equivalent to my general, the current is proportional to the gradient of electrochemical potential. Okay? This is Ohm's law. This is another way to write Ohm's law. Okay? And what do you measure? When you have a conductor here, you say, at the end, I put a voltmeter, or I put a current, I put a voltmeter, I measure what? Is that just the electrostatic field, or is the electrochemical potential field? Electrostatic? Nope. You actually measure total. You can't quite distinguish what you measure. Okay, this is because when you put the electrode, remember, say, chemical potential is just like a temperature, right? When you put the two materials together at the interface, they will equal to each other. So chemical potential will thermalize, say, equilibrium on both sides. So actually, at this point, you really measure the total difference is the electrochemical potential energy difference, of course, normalized by the charge, because volt in volt. Okay? So, that is Ohm's law. And if I do a little bit more in metal, the N is approximately the constant. Okay. Metal, you don't dope it. There are so many electrons already inside. You can't change the concentration. So really, it's the dominant term is the Q and mu epsilon x. And this one is your electrical conductivity. Because in metal, the N doesn't change. So you do electric conductivity. That's the material property. Once you go to semiconductor, you can dope it. Your N can be different for different, even the same material. You dope differently, that N is different, right? So you can't really, the electric conductivity depends on the number of electrons you put or number of impurities you put in there. That's why people don't use electric conductivity. They will just say this mu is called mobility. That's how mobile per charge. Okay? Right? So, because the higher N, if your mu is the same, you get a higher electric conductivity. You get more carriers to carry the charge. Right? And, but it turns out, when you dope a semiconductor, you add an impurity, your relaxation time typically drop. So your typically as your N increase, mobility will decrease. It's not exactly opposite, but you will lose some of the benefit of adding more carrier because the impurity atom you put in there will scatter the electron. So it's a combination of the two effects. Okay, so that is the case of dt dx equals zero. Oh, I should discuss more. In semiconductor, okay, if long degenerate, so-called, that means you don't dope it so heavily, the Fermi level is within the gap. Okay, if your Fermi level is within the gap, it's you can, if EK, say the difference between this Fermi level and the EC here is larger than KT, you can use drop this factor of 1, right? Because if this is large, you drop this 1, right? And that, in this case, is not Fermi-Dirac, it's a Boltzmann distribution. It actually makes your life easier. With this one, you can't do the integration analytically. Without one, you can do integration analytically. So it's just an exponential function, right? So in that case, it's a non-degenerate. If it's a non-degenerate, and then you can prove that the diffusivity, D here, diffusivity, again, the units is m squared second. Mobility is actually mobility unit. I forgot. Do we have an electrical engineer here? Nobody remember a mobility unit? I think it's a volt centimeter, but I need to check. Okay. You can see whether the units will be right or not. So if it's long degenerate semiconductor, you can prove that the mobility diffusivity, they are all coming from the relaxation time. You see that? They're all from the integral there, right? There's a relation between D and the mu. You remember the, yeah, I forgot. Yeah?
I don't know
E tau over M, but you can... Well, you can, by the end of the class, you're going to tell me whether I'm right or here. Okay. So you can prove there's a relation between the diffusivity and the mobility, charge, Q, mu, okay? This is called the Einstein relation. Einstein didn't do this, didn't do charge. Einstein did the fluids. Einstein did the Brownian motion. And this is a result of the so-called dissipation, fluctuation dissipation theorem, okay? And in fact, a lot of those coefficients are related. You see the previous one, the thermal conductivity viscosity related for gas, diffusivity mobility related, you'll see a lot of this relationship between coefficients. And mathematically, you can see they are all doing the, you're basically doing the same integral. Right? That's where it comes from, mathematically. But their physics-wise, it's all because it's the motion of the same charge. Okay? And so that's the case for the tau, say, non, there is a temperature gradient, non-temperature gradient. I want to cover the case of temperature gradient, because that's where you're going to hear more in the next Monday's guest lecture on the thermoelectricity. Let me move on, okay? And so when there is a temperature gradient, look at this. When there is a temperature gradient, I have an extra term. This is L12, right? So when there is a temperature gradient, Jx equals L11 and Qd phi dx plus L21 dt dx. Right? So temperature also contributes to your temperature gradient, also contributes to your current flux. So now, if I have a conductor or semiconductor, I keep one side hot, the other side is cold, and I have low current flow. Okay, open circuit. What I have? Jx equal to 0, that means I get L11 Q d phi dx plus L21 dt dx equals 0. So I have a non-zero electrochemical potential difference, gradient. That means you measure voltage there. You stick your voltmeter to measure, you measure voltage. Right? And the ratio of this, so you can go to take the ratio of this and what I have, I put down dv dx. Dv dx should be really d phi dx, and my symbol then, this should be L11, I'm sorry, okay? So dv dx, dt dx, I define this ratio as my S. This is L12 divided by L11. That's the Seebeck coefficient. So given a material there, you measure voltage, you measure temperature difference, you get the deviation, the difference. You can see here it's a differential form, right? But if you say, because dx is in both places, so if you do integration, no matter what temperature distribution along your conductor, as long as your material property is uniform, you measure same temperature voltage, so independent of whatever distribution. So that's when you use a thermocouple. You use a thermocouple, so material 1, material 2, you stick to where you want to measure, right? You measure, in that case, there is a voltage drop. There's another voltage drop. So you measure the total voltage from this going here. That's the total voltage. And then you have this voltage drop. You don't want to cancel each other. So very often, one type is a positive sign Seebeck. The other is a negative sign Seebeck. That depends on whether you have electrons or you have positive electron holes. Okay, so you can reinforce to get a bigger signal. Okay, that's the thermocouple principle. Okay, so that's one of the thermoelectric effect. I did a charge here. You can go to do the energy, right? Here is a charge. The energy carried by electrons. And we can go specifically to the thermal energy, the heat. The total energy, if you do write down the thermodynamics, the total energy of electron here is the thermal energy dq plus plus chemical potential energy, dN. So this is a chemical potential. That's just a chemical potential is how much energy per charge carry, say average energy. Okay? So when I calculate thermal energy, I actually do this way. I do per charge energy minus chemical potential, and then the Vx, and then I do the, again, I'm doing the summation. Starting with the summation, and then F, and factor of 2 for the spin up, spin down. That's the same. You see, what I just did is E. Now I'm doing the energy. Rather than do current flux, I'm doing energy flux. Okay? So you follow the same strategy, you will get the L21. Again, this is a QD. You get d phi dx, so that's one term, and you get L22 and dt dx. The coefficients I'm not going to write anymore. Yes?
Is the coefficient the same as the
L21? Yeah. Depends on how I write it exactly, but these two coefficients are related. And again, you can go back to the, you see, you all start, the point is you all start from the same expression here for F, right? You may multiply energy, you may multiply charge at the end, you can relate them. And this is a more general so-called Ansager relationship, reciprocal. This is the cross-term coefficient always relates to each other. So again, if you can say, if I look at the thermal energy, even if this is no temperature difference, this one is the voltage, right? You can plug a voltage to current. You can replace voltage to current. So you will find out that in this case, JQ will be related to JX, the current. That coefficient is by elimination. This d phi dx term, because it's all dt dx equals 0, so you can say you replace jx through here, right? So you can say a current flow carries a heat with it, and this is the Peltier effect. Peltier current. This is the first one is Seebeck effect, voltage. Second is Peltier. So when you pass a current through, the Peltier coefficient in material 2 is 2, in material 1 is 1. The two materials have different Peltier. Then at the junction, the energy is not continuous. The thermal energy is not continuous. Chemical potential is the same, we said, right? Chemical potential, when you put the two materials together, they are the same. So then there got to be either heat release or heat absorption. Depends on whether you have more flow out than flow in. You reverse your current, it's the opposite direction. So you can have cooling or heating at this junction of a thermocouple by passing current through. And if it's cooling, it's a refrigerator. If it's heating, it's a heat pump. You're rejecting heat. And this is reversible by reversing your current direction. So that's a Peltier cooler or Peltier heat pump. So these two effects, Seebeck and Peltier effects, are related to each other. And in fact, the relation here is pi equals S times T. Okay, Peltier coefficient is just this temperature times the Seebeck coefficient. I'm going to stop here. And pick up. So I'm going to the take-home exam is going to post it on the web at 7 o'clock Friday. And it's due at 2:30 on the same as this Wednesday class. You can either email or get back to Alvin.
Email to you?
No, Alvin. Email to Alvin.
No,
Huh? Wednesday no lecture. Monday there's a lecture. I thought I explained this and.